Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Them up so that when they go back to this world, because guess what? We don't live in the church, right? We don't spend a night in this building. We don't wake up and eat breakfast here. We got to go to the world, but we have to be in the world and not of the world. Amen. So it's important that we come together, get our spirits lifted, because guess what? The world is going to drain you. Amen. It's going to make you not want to continue to walk for the Lord. But that's why we get together, to encourage one another. Amen. I am going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for another time that we can come together, oh God. Come together and worship you. Come together and lift you up. Dear God, we pray, dear God, that you would just move in this building today, dear God. Move in us, oh God. Dear God, we even pray that you would just move in this neighborhood as we've been praying earlier, dear God. We pray, dear God, that you would just continue to show forth your spirit, to show forth your presence, oh God. Hallelujah, dear God. We just thank you for who you are, and we pray, dear God, that we would understand who you are even more in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. I'm excited. I was thinking about, man, am I going to keep the title the same? Am I going to change it? I was praying. The title of the series was Trusting God's Plan. Amen. And I think it was important to trust God's plan. But as I was here, as we were praying, God hit me with something. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to use that. So the key scripture for that series and this series is still Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And what that says is trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right? So that was trusting God's plan. That's where that came from. And lean not on your own understanding. Okay? So today, while I was back there prepping some more, I always like to just pray and let God say whatever he had to say. It said, understanding God's plan. So we had trusting God's plan, but now how do we understand it? Amen? Because I think it's a difference. Some of us trust God's plan, but we don't understand it. Therefore, we don't act in it. Amen? So the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen? So we're going to go to another story. We finished the story of Abraham and him learning how to trust God's plan. Now we're going to skip a few generations. We got Abraham. Abraham had Isaac, right? And then there was Jacob, the younger brother of Esau. And see, this is the weird thing, because sometimes God doesn't go in chronological order. Esau was the firstborn, right? But he sold his birthright, not his birthmark. He sold his birthright to Jacob. And even I was listening to the Bible in that story. He was like, man, it's right that they named you Jacob, because Jacob meant rascal. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that's always sneaky. They were like, it's right that they named him that. You know, and it's funny. That's why it's important to name your kids with a name that means something biblically, amen, even spiritually. Give them something that means something, amen. Today I met somebody named Royalty. I was like, okay, you got to live up to that, amen. That's powerful. So we're going to go after Jacob. There was Joseph. And Joseph's story, as I was continuing to prepare, I was like, God, what stories do you want me to show? He said, let's go see Joseph. And we're going to see Joseph learning, somebody say learning, to understand God's plan. Because I'm going to tell you this, some of us, we have had and we are in relationship with God. He shows us something, but we don't understand it, right? He shows us something and we don't understand it. And since we don't understand it, we fear it. We're trying to, oh man, I don't know if that's really God, because I don't have the point A through Z. I don't have all my bullet points. But guess what? God wants you to understand his plan, And guess what? Sometimes it starts with operating in whatever his plan is. Amen? But let's go to Genesis chapter 37. As I said, trusting God's plan is very important, but we take it a further step when we understand his plan. Amen? If you got your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 37. And this series, I've just been doing a lot of reading the Bible. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that, right? Ain't nothing wrong with reading it. So we can go through the stories and see what God has said. So we're going to read this chapter of Genesis chapter 37. It says, "Now Jacob dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers." Okay, so how old is he? 17. All right. "And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father." So what do we see here? Joseph, even in this scripture, we see Joseph wants to do the right thing. His brothers is tripping, not doing the right thing, and he goes and tells his dad. Why? Because he already has a responsibility that they don't have. Okay? So this is very important, because Joseph, if you look at the story of Joseph, Joseph was the, not the firstborn. I believe he was actually the 11th. He was the youngest brother at that moment. It's like my wife Precious. She was the youngest until her sister came 10 years later, and now she's the youngest. But during that time, Joseph was the youngest brother. But we see he had a responsibility, and he was a leader even here, right? So let's keep on going. And it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Okay? Now, we see the situation is unraveling. Joseph is loved more. Now, that's a dangerous thing to do. Parents, we have to make sure we love each child the same, because they know, right? And you might love them differently. That doesn't mean if I give child A this, I'm going to give every other child the same thing. That doesn't work. Yeah, but you have to know, they have to know that you love them. Amen? "Now Joseph," in verse 5, "had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him more, even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. They were binding sheaves in a field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brother said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us?'" Right? "Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for the dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me." Okay? So he told it to his father and his brother, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Okay? Now, what do we see here? God is giving Joseph a gift, right? But Joseph doesn't understand it yet, right? And I believe that we have all been in those places. God gives us a gift. We don't understand it. So we're trying to tell people, maybe they got insight. But guess what? God is the only one that's going to give you clear insight into what he's giving you. Amen? But these dreams, this is why we have to understand God's plan. These dreams are what God is going to use to awake Joseph to his destiny. Amen? This is why it's important to have that relationship with God. One thing I even pray, God, speak to me through my dreams. And I've got spoken by God in my dreams. If God wants me to grow closer to him, he'll give me a dream that shows me I need to get closer. He shows me dreams where I have to pray for people. At first, I didn't understand it. I was like, God, what is this dream about? Didn't understand. And then I just started praying. And then after a while, I started reaching out to these people and say, hey, man, I had a dream about you. It went like this. Is everything cool? They might say yes. No, what are you talking about? Okay, cool. I was just praying. I'll just keep it. I'll keep the matter in mind, right? Because sooner or later, I know that God gives me dreams of people so I can intercede for people. Amen. Sometimes I can't even go back to sleep. I'm distraught in my spirit because of some of the things that I see. But it is a gift of God. And I've learned that God doesn't just give me these dreams so that I can say, oh, God, I got a new dream. Let me tell you, they're so I can begin to pray and know what I'm praying for. Amen. So it's the same thing with Joseph. Joseph has these dreams. This is a gift of God that God gave to Joseph. Amen. And he is operating in this gift. Now, operating in this dream gift, even though his brothers don't understand it, he's speaking it. And this is very important. You don't tell everybody everything that God shows you. Right? If God shows you something in a dream, you don't put it on Facebook. Hello, somebody. Hey, I had a dream about this pastor, and this pastor's a wild well, and I think he's going to fall. That's not what you're supposed to do with that. That's the wrong thing to do. God gave you that dream. See, look, a lot of church people have learned to get these visions from God, and really what they want to do is be the next man on the pole. They want to be the top person. But if you realize why God gives you those dreams, you can stop what's going to happen by praying. Amen. God is giving you that warning so that you can begin to pray. But guess what? The church is not. I'm not saying we don't, but we have to realize why God gives us these things. Amen. When Joseph shares his story, even though this is actually going to come to pass, it wasn't time for his brothers. And let me even say this. As I was prepping, God put this in my spirit. Some of us, we envy others because of the gifts that God has for them, because we don't know our gift. When you don't know your gift, why does that guy always gotta be so special in God? Why? Because he's closer to God. The closer you get to God, the more he will reveal your purpose. Amen? But since you're not close to God, what happens is, that person, he's not that special. Have you ever heard somebody say somebody else is not so special? Right? Why? Because they're envying them. And that's what Joseph's brothers did. They envied him, but guess what? God had a plan for each and every one of them. Amen? He has a plan for all of them. Matter of fact, the plan for all of them, this was the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? God had huge plans for these people. But since they were so focused on Joseph's plan, they lost track of saying, hey, this is the kind of person I am. If God shows that to them, I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to show me? Please reveal to me something so that I can, not so I can be better than them, but the Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. Amen. So if he gives a gift to Precious, Monica got a gift too. Amen. Lark, Annis, you have gifts that God gives you, but we can't be hung up on other people's gifts. You're losing track of what God has for you. And that's what happened. So get this. Let's see what happens after that in verse 12, Genesis chapter 37. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, which is Jacob, said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said, here I am. Now, look, again, even though this is funny, because he's still the youngest. But the brother's at least 17, right? He's 17. We don't know how time went on in this verse. He could be 17. It could be 18, right? But he's 18 and he's not working. He's going to go. He's already in charge of his brothers, right? He had that dream. He's already in charge. His father is setting him up because he loved him more, but also because there was something that was in Joseph. Amen. So he's Joseph. Here I am. Then he said to him in verse 14, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. So he sent him out to the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. All right. Now, what is he at this point? He's a manager. Right. Anybody ever have a manager? Sometimes they don't have to do the work. They just have to make sure the work is getting done. And they go and report to whoever's higher than them. This is what Joseph does. Because as you see in the beginning, it said he was tending the flock. But now he's managing them. So what I'm going to tell you is this. Be faithful with what you already have. God will promote you. Amen. And God has already gave him dreams of this promotion. But guess what? Sometimes it's not just the dream. Sometimes it's the journey to that. That journey to whatever God shows you sometimes is the hardest thing that you're going to go through in your life. Because God shows it to you, you'll be tested by God, and the enemy is going to try to knock you off track. Amen? We're talking about understanding God's plan. Verse 15 says, now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, when they had saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to what? Kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, this is very important. They weren't really trying to kill him. They were trying to kill his gift. Their whole focus was like, we're tired of these dreams that this brother's having. Okay, we're going to get rid of him. And it says, and we shall see what's going to happen of his dreams. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to get rid of him. Now, listen. This is because they didn't know their purpose. Right? I said that earlier. They're attacking Joseph because they're not sure of the plan that God has for their life. And what they begin to do is they become deceitful, trying to get rid of his plan, right? Because they have no plan, right? The people that have no plan, they're trying to destroy everybody else's plan because they want to be on the same field. I love the movie Incredibles. I heard they're coming out with Incredibles 2. I can't wait for that movie. But one thing that the bad guy in the movie, he said, and you know, they always have these kind of things in movies. It's powerful when you think about it. He says he wasn't a superhero, but he had all these gadgets that made him super. And he said, once I get these gadgets and give them to everybody, everybody will be super, right? But then he said, but that means everybody's the same. You can't all be super sane, right? So he was saying that, well, then once everybody's super, nobody will be super. And that's what the world does to us, right? If we're so envious about what they have. We all want to be on the same plane. But guess what? We can't all fit on the same plane, right? There's not enough space for us to fit on the same plane. Some of us are going to different destinations. And if we are connected to God, he's going to even take us to other destinations that we can't get on our own. Amen? But it's important to know your purpose. Trust God, as I talked about, in understanding your plan. Amen? Verse 21 says, but Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to him, or said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So somebody out of these brothers is like, hold up, man, my brothers is tripping. They're talking about killing. You trying to kill your own brother over a dream. Just think about that. Now, once again, it's not just a dream because they see this happening already. Huh? Yeah, but at this moment, he wasn't born. Remember that. Benjamin was born he was a lot younger. But he might have been born. But I said he was the 11th son. Joseph is the 11th son. So check it out. At this moment, I lost track of what I was saying, but that's all right. Reuben is saying we can't kill him. We have to spare his life. And Reuben's trying to send him back to his father. Why? Because maybe Reuben sees the plan. Maybe he understands it and he sees God is working in him. Guess what? Everybody that's around you, they're not always out to get you. There's somebody that sees there's something different in you. Every time you're there, every time you're here, I feel different. What's going on in your life? And I believe that's what happened to Reuben. Just imagine, like, the things that we don't see in the Bible in this story. And I'm not trying to make another Bible, just to be clear. But you got to think, Joseph probably had conversations with his brothers after this. I don't think he only had one conversation that said, hey, brothers, I had a dream, right? And you were all bowing down to me. And he never talked to them again, right? We can assume that. They lived together. Maybe he and Reuben had conversations and they just started talking and they had a bond. We don't know. But we see that Reuben was used by God. Somebody say by God to save Joseph. Amen. So it says, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they said, down. Now, it's interesting. They threw him in a pit. Why a pit? Because a lot of us go into a pit spiritually, right, when we're upset, when we don't know. For Joseph, what did this pit mean? This pit, he couldn't get out, right? Some of us are in pits, and we're trying to figure out, God, how do I get out of this? I don't understand. I thought this was your plan. You got to think about Joseph being in this pit. He had to think about a lot. What about these dreams, God? Right? He probably started talking to praying, God, oh, how is these dreams going to come to pass if I'm going to be down here in this pit? I don't know what my brothers are going to do. They're kind of rowdy right now. It sounds like it's not going to end good. Right? The pit is a place where you question your plan, where you question the plans of God. You don't understand when you're in the pit. But guess what? I'm going to tell you that pit is going to work for its purpose, because there's going to be times where you're going to have to question, but then you're going to have to find the answer. Amen? Questioning God is okay. All right, because some people think, oh, God, I should never ask you questions. Do you ask your dad questions? Us that have fathers, we ask them questions. We ask our parents questions. God is our father. Sometimes we don't understand, and sometimes he'll answer the question right out. This is the answer. But other times, time will begin to help you answer the questions. But that pit is very important. Somebody say that pit is very important. And verse 25 says, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes. This is the brothers. Now, Joseph didn't eat. He's probably hungry in that pit too, right? And thirsty because there ain't no water. Who knows what else is in that pit, right? Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites. Now, remember, if you follow the story of Abraham, Abraham had Ishmael, his first son. All right, Ishmael is thriving. Why? Because there's Ishmaelites. Okay, when they put an ites on the end, it's beginning to grow. Right, and God promised that Ishmael will be blessed. Some, you know, the church, we always think Ishmael is, you had an Ishmael, he wasn't blessed. God blessed him too. We clearly read that he was blessed. I'm pretty sure Ishmael had a relationship with God. Okay. So we see now the Ishmaelites are coming, and they knew who they were. coming from Gilead with camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So they got a thriving business. This is called a caravan of business. Now we have what? It's like a FedEx. This is one of the first FedExes we see in the Bible. Okay? They're delivering. I don't know if they were on time, but they were delivering goods. Amen? So it says, so Judah, another brother, okay, said to his brothers, what prophet is there? Okay, now Judah is almost like who? Judas. Now we see the coalition, and my dad always talks about the coalition between this. Why? Because Judah and Judas are pretty much similar names. But Judah said to his brothers, what prophet? Somebody say, what prophet? First of all, there was no prophet in what they were going to do, right? But this really means that what Reuben said, they weren't considering what Reuben said, because he's going to say, what prophet is it if we kill our brother? So they're still planning to kill him. You guys see that? So who knows what Reuben did, where Reuben went. He went somewhere. But he says, what prophet is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not our hand be upon him. Why? Because he got a little bit of sense. And he says, for he is our brother and our flesh. Right? He's our family. Right? Why should we destroy him? Right? And it's interesting because he's still trying to destroy his dreams, but he doesn't want to physically destroy him. Now, it's very interesting because our brothers and our sisters, sometimes the closest ones to us, destroy our dreams, right? They're the quickest ones to say, man, you ain't never going to be that. Why? Because they haven't found that dream yet. They haven't found that purpose. And I'll tell you this, they will continue to do that until they find their plan and purpose in God. Amen? So he says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let our hand be let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. The Midianite or the Ishmaelite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, 20 shekels of silver, I don't know how much that is, but I don't think it was a lot. Right? And you got to think about, these people are from Abraham. Abraham had a lot. But see, they weren't worried about even the price that they sold him for. They got rid of him for nothing, basically. Why? Because we're just going to make him a slave. Therefore, we can get rid of his dream. And people want to sell you out to get rid of what God has planned for you. But we have to understand his plan. Amen? It says, then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of goats, and dipped the tunic in blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? All right, now that's a cold one, right? Come on, you know it is. And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all the sons and all the daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar. All right, now this is powerful too. Had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Okay, so we already see that we don't know what that journey was like for Joseph, right? It wasn't an airplane and he was there to Egypt in like 3 hours. Dude was probably walking, chained up. I mean, we got to really look at this picture. It wasn't pretty, right? It wasn't pretty. He went from managing to being the end of the, on the other side of managing, the slave, right? In a matter of, hey, son, go check out these, go check on your brothers, make sure they're good. Now his brothers sell him. What is he thinking about the plan of God in his life at this moment? Right? He's a slave. And he's like, this is, God, what is this? Right? He's having questions. But see, we don't see this in the Bible. We don't see these questions sometimes. And a lot of us, we have these same questions. Because if somebody wrote a biography about you, they don't have every single moment in your life. There's times where nobody's around and you're still trying to figure out, God, is this your plan? I'm still trying to understand your plan for my life, God. And I have these questions. It's not going the way that I thought it would go. But what this can do, it's very important. It could do two things. It could tear you away from God, or it can make you draw near to him. Amen. And I think that when we are, that our believers, when we get into this situation where everything doesn't look like this is God, I can't even understand it, right? We're all going to go to a place like that in our life. But when you get there, it should make you, as a believer, want to get closer to God and say, okay, God, I'm still trying to understand your plan. I saw glimpses of what you said to me. Amen. Right. I saw these things and now I'm trying to figure out, right now it's not adding up. So I don't know what's going on. Amen. And some people get there and they get frustrated. Right. You ever been frustrated with God? I've been frustrated with God before. Like, God, what is the deal? Like, I'm not understanding what's going on. But instead of being frustrated and running from God, it should draw us closer to him. Your plan that God has for your life, it doesn't work without God. That's what you got to remember. If I was talking to my brother Chamian back there, and, you know, one time we were just talking, and as we were speaking, we're like, man, there's nowhere else to go. Right? When I'm frustrated, I'm not about to go wild out and just live a sinful life. That ain't me. Right? Why? Because I have a relationship with God. Sometimes even if I don't understand God, I might not pray like I'm supposed to be praying, but sooner or later he's going to be like, son, it's time to pray. Right? I need to talk to you. Why? Because it's that relationship. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. But guess what? If you begin to ignore the Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, man, I'm not, forget that. I don't need to hear you right now. Let me turn this noise on. Let me turn something else on in my life. This is really what people begin to do. They begin to turn the noise up so loud that they can't hear that small, still voice. They get so busy with life. They get so busy with their job trying to make that plan that they had in their head work on their own. But guess what? It doesn't work. Right? You're going to get fed up. And I'm going to continue in this next week because I just want us to think about, okay, we are down at this point where we feel like sometimes we've been in that pit. And now even from that pit, what's worse, the pit or being sold as a slave? You know, you would think, okay, my brothers is, he might have been like, okay, my brothers is playing a trick on me. They're upset. Okay. They're going to at least get me out of here. Right? But imagine getting out of the pit, right? Getting out of that pit. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate you. Oh, man, I'm so glad that you got, he might have been upset, but he's like, I'm glad you got me out of there. And then they sell you as a slave. Like, that's a cold one to swallow. So what we see is Joseph and what we can see in our own life, there's going to be things and people that do you wrong. But the way you react to them is going to be crucial to your plan. Right? I know some people that have unforgiveness stuck in their heart. So what does it do? Everybody, oh man, I'm not messing with that person. Unforgiveness clouds their mind, right? Somebody else does something to them. Now it's I'm not forgiving that person. It's like a magnet. It attracts all other types of unforgiveness because they haven't let that thing go, right? So it's important, even when people come to destroy your plan, that you don't get on them and say, I'm not going to forgive you. Forgive them, let it go, so that you can move on. Amen? It's very important. We're talking about understanding God's plan, and I think it's important that we understand that He has a wonderful plan. Say, everybody say, God has a plan for my life, and I want to know it, trust it, and understand it. Amen. Let us pray. Let's go ahead and stand if you can. Heavenly Father, we just pray, dear God, that today, dear God, that wherever we are at in trying to understand your plan, dear God, that you would give us wisdom and insight so that we can understand it, oh God. There's so many things that happen in our life. There's so many times, dear God, where we're trying to figure it out, and some of us mess it up on our own, oh Lord. We pray, dear God, first of all, that you forgive us of all our wrongs. Forgive us for being upset. Forgive us for being frustrated and not even spending the time that we should with you. But God, we pray that you would bring clarity to the plan that you have for our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody say amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.